Well, welcome this morning. We have just started a new series, Sunday morning sermon series. So if you're just visiting with us for the first time, this is a really good time for you to be here. We are calling this series the One Another series, where we're looking at the One Another scriptures in the Bible. Did you know that there are at least 59 One Another's in Scripture? We're not gonna preach through all of them this morning. So just be happy about that. But there's at least 59 one another's. There's scriptures that say serve one another, encourage one another, do not slander one another. And this one that I briefly mentioned last week that we're going to forego this week is greet one another with a holy kiss. We're not gonna do that this morning. But there's all these one another's. And what I have found that as I read these one another's in Scripture, what I have found is that I desperately need Jesus to carry out these one another's in Scripture. Last week we talked about love one another, this kind of love that Jesus loved us with, this self-sacrificing, self-giving kind of love. And I know that when I read those words of Jesus, I say to myself, Ryan, you need the love of Jesus. You need Jesus. You need to remain in him to carry out that kind of love. Because guess what, friends? My family knows this, and probably your spouse or whoever you're sitting next to knows this, that you don't have that kind of love in your life. That love, that kind of love that Jesus talks about, does not originate from you. It originates only from the heart of God. And so I desperately need to remain in Jesus as I seek to live out these one another's in Scripture. So this morning in our time together, the next one another that we're going to talk about is live in harmony with one another. Let's say that together, in harmony, right? Live in harmony with one another. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And remember, one of the key questions that we're looking at all month through these one another's is how do we live, or how do we relate to one another in a way that represents Jesus best to the world? Because remember, when Jesus said, love one another, he said, it's by how you love one another that the world will know that you are my disciples. So how do we live and relate to one another in a way that represents Jesus the best to the world is the question that we're kind of going to answer throughout this whole month. Have you guys noticed that in our world that harmony, unity, is kind of elusive for us to grab onto? Even in the church, the church sometimes is not a good representation of Jesus. Sometimes even in the church doesn't look any different from the rest of the world that seems to be divided. I mean, look on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you don't have to look very far where even Christian brothers and sisters on Facebook put out some view that they have, and then when someone doesn't agree with you, boy, it gets real nasty real quick. Anybody ever see that at all, or am I the only one that sees that? And what Jesus is calling us to through his word is not to live in such a way where we seek out contention in the body of Christ. And we're going to look at that here in a minute here. So let's look at Romans chapter 12. We're going to be referring to a lot of different scriptures this morning, but I want you to hear Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. Just hear Paul's tone and just the whole context of it, and then we'll come back to a few verses in here. But can we stand together as we read God's word together in honor of God's word, his holy word? It says this, Romans chapter 12, 1 through 21. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves, never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. You may be seated. I think you hear Paul's tone several times in there. It's all about one another and loving one another, and do not curse. Pray for your enemies. That's the ways of Jesus, and this is what he's communicating to the church here. You know, there's this amazing, wonderful thing that's happening in the life of the church, and we especially read about it in the book of Acts, where the church is growing and people are coming to faith in Jesus, and it's a real exciting time. But there's a problem that begins to happen. There's division that begins to happen among the people. People are giving their hearts to God through faith, but there's problems. There's problems in the family of faith. And it really surrounds two groups of people, right? We have the Jews who are coming to faith in God. And then we have the Gentiles, which are unbelievers. And they're coming to faith in God. And so you have these two groups of people coming from these two very different cultural backgrounds, where they have different beliefs about God, and they have different beliefs about what day is holy and what food they should eat and shouldn't eat, and how we should worship God. These were all different things that these two groups of people argued about and were divided about. Doesn't sound much different than today, does it? Where different groups feel like this is the right way to go, and different groups feel like this is the right way to go. And so there's sometimes these divisions, and this is kind of what Paul is getting at here when he begins to instruct people how to live. I mean, this is kind of what Paul is talking about. Imagine a Jewish person walking down the street and a Gentile, an unbeliever, saying, "Oh, look at them. They're so bound up in the Old Testament law. How could they even know God?" Right? Or perhaps a Gentile believer is walking down the street and a Jewish person is like saying, "No, wait a minute. We are the ones with a rich cultural history here. We are the ones who know God. You do not." I mean, that same kind of thinking sometimes happens in the church, you know? You know, those of us who've been in the church for a long time may have a proud heart saying, "You know, we've been here for a long time. The rest of you visitors and new people, you just don't know God like we do. You know, we what's wrong with you? You don't even know the hymns." I mean, they have such rich theological truth and all using is the new choruses, the new worship. These are some of the things that happen all the time that divide churches, and it's no different from what Paul is talking about today. And so in a sense, he says, hey people, listen up. Look at Romans 12:4. He says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Guess what the body, who is Christ's body? We are. That's what he's saying. The body has many parts, and they're all valuable, and we all belong to each other. And then he says in verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. You know, living in harmony doesn't mean that we're all have the same likes. Right? I like different things than you. You like different things from me. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean even that we all have the same opinions about things. But what it does mean is that the church, the followers of Jesus, live for the same one person. Amen? I want to call up some of my friends here to help me out with an illustration. You know who you are. So don't be shy. They're going to give us an illustration here of harmony. First we're going to, I don't actually know what's going to happen, but first what's going to happen is Shelley and my wife Jen, they're going to sing the melody of a song that some of you know, and then we're going to add in some harmony. So let's hear the melody. That was beautiful, wasn't it? You can give him a hand. That was beautiful. And we all can sing along with that, right? That's really, really easy to catch on and sing along with that. Now, let's add in some harmony. Beautiful, wasn't it? Yeah. Here's the cool thing about this. They're all singing the same song, aren't they? Right? That's the first step here, right? They're all singing the same song, but are they all singing the same notes? No. And it comes out beautiful. Now, let's try something else out this morning. Because this is kind of an example of what happens in the church and in families sometimes. Let's try it again. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Sometimes, you're all liars. You're breaking apart my illustration here. Sometimes this happens in churches and families when people come in and say, you know what, I've got this, and we just kind of move through the family of God or our physical families like a bowl in a china shop sometimes. When we all think we have the answer to the group, they're already doing beautifully. Maybe it's not my part. Maybe it's not me to be a part of that group. Maybe it's to serve in another capacity. Sometimes we make life all about us, right? And that's when we begin to have problems in a family or in a church, when life just revolves around us. Let's try it again. Life sometimes happens like this. Go ahead. And I'm the best, and I know best. I think the way you should worship should be like this. All right, you can sit down. Thank you. But isn't that life like life sometimes, where people come in, where family members come in, and they just make it all about them? Instead of seeking out to live in harmony, we make things all about us. Maybe ask your spouse or ask your friend, hey, when am I making our life together just about us? And have them speak the truth to you. You know, another translation of Romans 12:16 says this: live happily together in a spirit of harmony. That doesn't mean you have to like the same things or have the same opinions, but you're living for a single purpose, and that's Jesus. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. Don't live with a life lofty mindset, thinking you are too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. You know, in verse 16 there, this verse where it says live in harmony, it says be willing. Another translation says be willing to associate with the lowly. Literally what he's saying, Paul's saying, is be carried away with the lowly. You know, we all like to think that we could humble ourselves, but Paul is talking about something even greater. Be carried away with the lowly. You know, there's a couple points in Scripture where the Bible talks about people being carried away. And those two times where it talks about being carried away with something, it's referring to being carried away by sin or being carried away by hypocrisy. And it's always shocking, right, when people, maybe some followers of Jesus who have been following Jesus for a long time, or maybe a pastor who's been carried away by sin. It's shocking to us sometimes as a group. I think it's equally shocking when we're carried away, what Paul's talking about, by becoming really humble. By not just associating with people of low regard, but being carried away with them, serving them, getting really low, humbling yourself like that. And that's what Paul is talking about. He's saying, you know what, when you're proud, when you're conceited, there's no way you can live in harmony and peacefully with people when you have a proud heart, when you're conceited. So if you're going to be carried away by something, Paul's saying, be carried away by associating and serving people who you feel that are lowly to you. Ephesians, and all throughout the Scripture, stress upon keeping unity in the body of Christ. Listen to some of these words. I believe that we don't have them anymore on the screen, do we? Is our screen gone this morning? Okay, I never know what's going on behind me. Well, I'll read a couple of these things to you. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. Another one of my favorite passages, and actually Shelley already referred to it in Philippians 2:1-4, says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but the interest of others. You know that these are not only words by Paul, but Jesus also prays. He prays for every one of us to be like this. In John 17, he says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for whoever will believe in me through their message. How many of you have believed in the message that they're referring to? A few of you. And this is what Jesus is praying for you. He says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us also, that the world will believe in you who sent me. Are you getting the picture here in Scripture? Whether it's Paul, whether it's James, whether it's John, whether it's Jesus, they all have a lot to say about living in harmony, living in this unity. I want to challenge us this morning to live in this different way that Paul is talking about here. The second thing in your notes, it says, live in harmony, realizing who and what we are in the power and presence of the living God. I mean, do we realize who we are, especially as the word talks about his presence and power? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. I want to read this scripture to you. Just listen to this. It says this, when Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. How many of you just would have been in awe if you're at that prayer meeting and fire just comes down from heaven? How many of you would even buy a ticket to go see that? Right? I mean, this is amazing what is happening here. The presence of the Lord is filling the temple. The priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. When all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground and they worshiped and they praised the Lord, saying, he is good, his faithful love endures forever. I mean, imagine being alive at that moment, at that prayer meeting where you have been praying forever. You've been praying for generations. I want to see the glory of the Lord. And now it comes down from heaven. What an amazing, I mean, if you're there, your heart would probably just stop. And you would be in awe and wonder. And as amazing as that is, do you know, friends, something greater has happened already in our lives as followers of Jesus. Do you know that? And I don't think we live into that power and presence. We don't understand that quite as well as I think we should. In the New Testament, God describes something greater that has happened in those who have believed in him. One of my favorite scriptures is Peter, 1 Peter 2, 5. It says this. I had all these scriptures prepared on the screen, but I guess it didn't need to happen this morning. It says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are like living stones. 1 Peter 2, 5, if you read that, you'll notice that Peter is talking, uses the word in the plural language. He's talking about all of us, right? All who have believed, you are living stones. He says he's building you into many houses of God. He says one spiritual house, one temple. That's why harmony is so important, isn't it? That's why harmony is so important, because there's many of us, and he's saying that the glory of God, no longer is it just coming down from heaven. The glory of God actually lives inside of us. Isn't that pretty cool to think of? That the same thing that they had been praying for generations, that the glory of God in the form of the Holy Spirit resides in our lives. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit resides in our life. And we're one temple, 1 Peter says. One body, all of us collectively, where the Holy Spirit dwells. You know, we live in a, as I said, harmony is important because we live in a culture where people can give opinions about things all the time, which At any moment of the day, you can go on the internet and give your opinion about the pizza you just ate, right? You can write a review of whatever. Note to self, did you know that people actually even review churches? Did you know that? Some of you say, yeah, I wrote a review. But note to self, if you're a pastor, don't go on a Sunday morning and read the Google reviews of your church. Don't do that just before you preach. I read a Google review about this church, and it said the people are great. And I was like, right on. That's good that we have some warm and welcoming people. But I hate the pastor. Oh, whoa. What did I do? What did I do? But we live in this culture where it's divided by so many different opinions. And sometimes we're even divided in the house of faith. And Paul's saying, don't be. Don't seek out contention. Live in harmony. Understand the power and the presence of God that lives in you. Remember, I said harmony doesn't mean that we all have to think the same thing or do the same things. But to live in harmony with one another means that we enrich each other's lives. Wasn't it so enriching when they added the harmony to their part? Wasn't that? And wasn't that so, like, it just made the song. I mean, it was good like it was. But when you brought in the harmony, it just enriched everything and it built up the whole group. I firmly believe, and I think it's from Scripture here, I know it's from Scripture here, that together the church can do more than we could ever do alone because the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit lives inside of every single believer. And we have to understand that. We have to understand who we are in the power and the presence of Jesus. The third and final thing this morning, I want to challenge you, friends, to live with God's mercy always in your sight. Live with God's mercy always in your sight. Romans 12:1 says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You know, I've read that passage many times, that scripture many times, and perhaps some of you have, but each time I've read it, I've skipped over the first few words in there. I've always gone to offer your bodies. What could I give to the Lord? After all he's done for me, what could I give to the Lord? What kind of sacrifice could I bring to the Lord? But as I read it this last time this week, there were some other words that jumped out at me. And first, it was the words brother and sister. Brother and sister. Because what that tells us in one of my conversations this last week with a friend is, you know, when you come to know Jesus Christ, God sets you in a family. You have a new name. God adopts you into his family. Once you were far from God, but because of his great mercy, he has brought you into his family and given you a new name. You are now a child of God. You are now a daughter of God. Some of you have already made that commitment to follow God, and you know what that adoption is all like. There are some of you who aren't in the family of God yet. But God does that. He adopts us. It's a wonderful thing to be adopted. It's a wonderful thing. I remember when we adopted our boys. I think you all know that we have two adopted boys. And I'll never forget when I looked on their birth certificate. And it had my last name on there. They did nothing to earn that last name. They didn't have to be good enough. They didn't have to be special enough. And although they are special boys, but they did nothing to earn that last name. They were given it automatically. And when we experience God's mercy, it is the same, because you don't earn God's mercy. You can't buy God's mercy. You can't even be good enough to earn God's mercy. God gives that as a gift. And I want to challenge you to live with God's mercy in view. Some of you know I've taken up a new sport. I've been alluding to this for the last few Sundays, I think. I've been taking up a new sport with some men in our church. We go every Friday shooting. And as I was beginning to learn how to shoot, I did what every newbie does. I didn't tell them about this, but I did this. I Googled how to shoot. Now I'm confessing to you, Jay and Pete, that I Googled this. And one of the things that I learned, and also from, I'm confessing to you, Al, this morning as well. One of the things I learned was to shoot with your dominant eye, right? You got to shoot with your dominant eye. I mean, if you shoot with your less dominant eye, are you going to hit the target? It's going to be really difficult, right? It's going to be really difficult. And so we've got to shoot with our dominant eye. Then we've got to be focused on that front sight. And as I began to think about the mercy of God, I began to think, you know, that front sight, that's the mercy of God. I must always keep focused on the mercy of God, because when I keep focused on the mercy of God with my dominant eye, it changes. It changes me. I become grateful for the sacrifice because God has given me something that I don't deserve. And that's his mercy. That's his grace in my life. And as I keep focused on the mercy of God, it changes the way I see other people. It changes the way I see other people. I'm not seeking to be proud. I'm not seeking to be conceited. I'm now looking at other people also as objects of mercy. And that's the question to us this morning. We all want the mercy of God. How many of you want the mercy of God? But do we want our neighbor to have the mercy of God as well? And we say that, but do we always live that? I think one of the things we need to do, friends, to live in harmony what Paul is talking about, is to always live with the mercy of God in our sight. And how do we do that? We come before God. We come to God every day. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, and we say, thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you. And now, God, help me to live in such a way to be merciful to others. Help me to do the hard thing that Jesus talks about, to pray for those who persecute me. Help me to do the hard thing to pray for my enemies, because this is the way of Jesus. And guess what? You don't have to do it on your own, because the power and the presence of a holy God lives inside of you. Amen? Live in such a way this week. I want to invite the worship team to come forward. And they're going to close us out. But perhaps you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know about this presence and this power thing that is supposed to live inside of me, or that can live inside of me. I'd encourage you to come up and talk to me afterwards. Perhaps you're here this week and you're hearing this message and you're saying, you know what? There's a person in my life that desperately needs the mercy of God. Would you go to them this week? And would you share with them about the mercy of God? Okay, something else is happening back here. But would you do that this week? Would you share? We all want to be objects of God's mercy. Would you go and show mercy to others? In so doing, it's a way to live in peace and harmony with others. So let's... What are we doing here?
We don't have the words. Since we don't have the words.
Okay, we don't have the words. So would you stand up and sing? And we're going to sing a song that some of you might know. We're going to sing I Love You, Lord. If you know how to harmonize, fine. If not, sing the melody and sing it to the glory of God.
I love you.
God, I thank you for your word that instructs. But Lord, I also thank you for your son, Jesus. And God, the mercy that you have shown to each and every one of us as we have trusted in you as the one and only sacrifice for our sins. And God, I know that many of us in this room have placed our faith in you. And so, Father, I pray for those who have yet to do that. God, would your Holy Spirit be drawing them and calling them now? And Lord, I pray for us here as we leave this place, just as you, Jesus, prayed for us. I pray that we would go out and we would always keep your mercy in our sight. And we would extend mercy to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.